Welcome, everyone, to Pints and Pairings. I am Curtis Taylor, also known as Hophead Zed.
And I'm Jason Hendrick from Everybody's Hungry, and we are broadcasting live tonight from Barrel House 101 in Ventura, California.
It's fantastic. 2 weeks, and 2 weeks in a row, we've done live broadcasts with an actual live studio audience.
Yeah, we don't have any soundtracks of people clapping. There are people sitting here Yay! Who may actually interact.
We've got... This evening, we're at from Barrel House 101. We are featuring the Dudes Brewing out of Torrance, California. And, you know, in a little bit, we'll get to the owner and talk a little specifics here. But true to life in Southern California, sometimes traffic gets the best of you.
I heard on the radio from a different station today, right before they gave the report, they said the lady's name in the broadcast, and like, she's about to put the ick in traffic. I was like, yeah, that's L.A. traffic for you.
I hear that every out of KCRW, the public radio station, yeah, there all the time. And, you know, it never fails. There's either a mattress or there's a ladder. I mean, whatever it is, every day it's a mattress or a ladder that's causing...
tie those things down, people.
I know, please, really. You're using thread to tie this thing down.
But, for a little precursor, too, since we are featuring the Dudes Brewing Company, if you want to start getting a jump on some of the beers we're going to taste and profile tonight, go to thedudesbrew.com. And that also is consistent across their social platforms. So if you want to find them on Twitter, Instagram, it's thedudesbrew. And again, when we get Ryan and Toby back here to interview about kind of the direction of the brewery and their philosophy and how they got started, we'll find out a little bit more about where the name came from and the logistics of the brewery. But we're going to jump right into one of the brews, Curtis. We're going to taste some of the beer on our own.
Yeah, we got the, now I'm drawing a blank.
Grandma's Pecan.
There we go.
And Grandma's Pecan is an English-style brown, and true to its name, there's a nuttiness in there.
There's some pecan, yeah. So playing with the natural or the historical English brown, and there's plenty of English browns that have nut brown in the name, nut brown. And I'm trying to think, is it Sam Smith's or... one of the English brewers, anyway.
Yeah, I think it's Sam Smith.
Sam Smith, Nut Brown Ale.
As a Cicerone, aren't you supposed to know all those things?
There's so many that I try to keep up on.
I'll never let you live that down.
No, I try to keep up on the contemporary ones and not necessarily the
nostalgic.
Right.
Got it.
So whereas I appreciate the traditional, appreciate the traditional.
Foundation
beers, everything else. I love to taste the new iterations of them.
You know, this beer, though, it's got a great dark color that really speaks to the pecan visually. It's got a brown richness to it, just like you'd see in a batch of skin-on roasted pecans. The palate is going to have some of those roasty notes and a little bit of bitterness you're going to get out of a pecan skin. So it's really coming into its own in terms of the flavor that they're trying to achieve.
Definitely, and I'm, as you're talking through it, I was giving it a big old long draw sniff and just trying to pull out everything that I could find. And one of the first things that hits is certainly the malt flavors in here. And there's a caramel-like kind of sweetness underneath, but what always comes back on top is the nuttiness.
Most definitely. But as you say, with that backbone, there is enough malty sweetness. For me, there's almost a little bit of a molassesy brown sugar undertone right before it goes back into the pecan kind of bitterness. And I think that allows it to be balanced. Although it does leave an astringency on the palate. It leaves a little bit of a bitterness on the tongue that I think is begging for some food. And we know that in a couple, you know, a few segments down the way, we're going to get some desserts that have been made with these different beers. But Curtis, off the top of your head, is there an item or an entree or a menu item that you come across you think would be a great pairing for this beer?
Well, I go right to cheeses with a nut brown and any of the nutty cheeses that you can think of. So I'm talking, now I'm losing it, Gruyere, a little nutty, Parmesan on the nutty side. There's some really fantastic cheeses that will help, the saltiness will help draw out the nut flavors as well. But you can't go wrong with a cheese and a beer pairing. The other thing that I really, really like to do with these two is just anything that has a caramelized component to it.
Sure. I think onions. A great resonation for this beer, especially since you brought up cheese, immediately I started swirling. What about a basic grilled cheese sandwich, but add some bacon and tomato? And the reason you're going to do the bacon and tomato on there is because you're going to get a creaminess. You're going to get that the nuttiness from the cheese and the toastiness of the bread, especially with that butter layer. You know, if you're using butter versus olive oil when you're toasting your grilled cheese. But then that freshness of the tomato, there's just enough tang and acidity there that I think it'll cut through this beer. And then you back it up with some of that salty, smoky aspects of the bacon to resonate again with the roasty notes that are hiding down in the beer.
It makes me think of a grilled cheese place here, not too far away from Ventura in Moore Park, called Custom Melt.
Custom Melt.
And one of my, you know, they do all these different gourmet kinds of grilled cheeses, but thinking about the cheese itself, and then just going another, just to lay another, just to put, make it as thick as we can, putting, ordering some caramelized onions to put on top of that. And so you've got this, just this whole savory, almost over-the-top kind of
and
savory.
When you caramelize the, yeah, caramelize.
I like caramelizing.
When you caramelize the onions, there's a certain sweetness that comes out too. That caramelization draws out all the great sugars from the onion and really is going to bring you back into some of the realms you're talking about. What if we just came out of St. Paddy's Day recently, though? What if we went to more of a briny style with some meats? They get great seasoning and intensity and salt and the meatiness of a protein. It doesn't have to necessarily be beef. It could be a great brine like pork loin or even brine turkey you're going to roast later on, because you're going to, in the skin and in the outer crust of those meats, you're going to get some caramelization. You're going to get a little smoky note, and then you're going to really dig into some of the sweetness that the natural proteins and irons of those meats are going to generate as it's roasting with the juices.
Yeah, and I think meat itself is you know, we're hitting all of these traditional sorts of...
Yeah, almost no-brainers, right?
Right, brown ale kinds of things. One of the things that, you know, as I like to... My head is spinning. That's why it's so hard for me, because I've got about four things that are fighting for my attention.
Sure.
Right now. But the meats, certainly. The meats are browned, like you were talking about. These are no-brainers. They'll go very well together. And then as I'm talking about it, I'm thinking of some pot pies.
Yep, very traditional, kind of classic buttery, flaky crust comparison. You're usually going to have a hearty center with some creamy sauces or a rich, beefy, robust kind of sauce.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've talked in the past, though, and thrown out a few zingers with a beer of this kind of fortitude that has a lot of flavor and backbone. What if we went to a real creamy, classic pasta, though, with a butter base for its sauce? However, we use a smokier cheese, like you were talking about earlier with the smoked Gouda, or something like even the Rauchkäse that we've had in the past,
yeah,
with our smoked German cheese. You're going to get the creaminess, and a lot of times a cream sauce like that is going to be cut with a little bit of lemon juice or an acidity and give it a vibrancy, but the base of it's going to be very, very hearty with a butter, creamy, and again with a smoky cheese, smoky direction that I think would hold up well.
Yeah, that's it almost makes my next suggestion trivialized. That is so, it's spot on. So what you need to do is just go do that with this beer. But the one thing that I'm kind of excited about was, as I was thinking about some of these, not necessarily traditional Irish or English, you know, as we were talking about St. Paddy's Day, and then that this is kind of an English sort of ale. Truly, I mean, porters and stouts came from the brown ales, and so looking at morphing, and for some reason, haggis came to my mind.
Oh, really, Curtis?
No. So have you had haggis?
I've not had let me say this. I haven't had traditional haggis. I've had an Americanized version of haggis, because in the United States, they can't cook with the lung or in a stomach.
Okay.
So I've had all the other kind of core aspects of haggis. There's a great shop in Santa Barbara, actually, Max Fish and Chips. And he does as close to traditional as you can get. It's kind of in a hush puppy kind of delivery, but it's a lot of internal organs, all the great seasoning and oats and that you'd find in a traditional haggis. But again, regulations say no lungs, no stomach.
Crazy stuff. So as I was going through haggis, which I think would be a really nice pairing. You know, obviously you would want to go do some sort of Scotch ale or Scottish ale, with the haggis if you wanted to go really, really traditional. But the oats kind of caught me, and then I started thinking about oatmeal.
Okay.
All right, so
breakfast style.
Definitely. Breakfast, some brown sugar on top or maple syrup in the mix. And as far as we've got these this pecan brown ale, some crunchy pecan bits sprinkled into the oatmeal.
Interesting. All right.
And so just another reason for us to have a beer with starting off the day. I mean, really, that's all I'm about is just how can I start drinking at 7 o'clock in the morning? And I think this is the way to that I can figure it out.
I'm not opposed to drinking that early in the morning because a lot of times your palate is just waking up. You're going to really be ready for the day. It's going to pick up on all kinds of these nuances that we're talking about. One of the things we didn't get into too much, though, is more the characteristics of the beer itself. And you know, when we look at the Dudes Brewing, they're trying to take a base recipe and kick it up a little bit or make it a little unique. Do you got the specs on this one? Because from what I'm reading, this beer, our first beer of the night, is coming in at 10.8%.
Wait, no. This is a 10% beer?
Oh, no. See, it's affecting me already.
That's the double trunk.
Yeah. Okay. See?
Wait, what?
No. I'm already messed up. I shouldn't have had a whole taster. But yeah, no, it's 6.9% for this one. Double trunk's coming up next.
Well, that's still on the high end of the range for brown ale. I mean, you're talking, should be looking at something in the neighborhood of 4.5 to 5% in that range. So
you gotta bring in a special guest.
I did, Chris O'Neill from VC Reporter. So we have had some discussions about Grandma's Pecan Porter, brown ale, and you know he's sitting over there and he's enjoying his beers. And so just to interrupt his evening, I thought I'd call him over here for any kind of insights that he might have on this beer as well.
Am I okay now?
You're good now. Okay. You're in it.
I have a very strange history with the Dudes Brewing Company, just FYI. I think I was at one of their very first launches in L.A. when I stumbled in a bar and I found them. And then, believe it or not, this is one of the beers I took with me to the U.K. to introduce the folk over there to some good L.A. craft brew.
Have good beer, we'll travel.
Exactly. And I remember telling them that it needs more pecan the very first time I tried it. And they obviously listened. I think this is a very well balanced beer, very nice, very nutty, and I've always enjoyed it. It's one of my go tos now when I pick up anything.
I think you hit on something really important too. Is that even when we start to see names of ingredients on the can, on the bottle, on the product, on the label, whatever it is, we've been trained to expect that to just punch
already
us in the face.
You have an image and a vision of what that should be, and mm-hmm. we've had some beers recently, Curtis, that we typically don't talk about beers that we're not big fans of because we like to highlight what's great and what's delicious for the audience. But we've had a few beers in the recent past that have named ingredients on their labels and have come up way short on the flavor profile there, and it takes us a little while to kind of try to justify how they're able to use that on the label. And I think like you're totally right, Chris. This stands up, and when you see pecan, you taste pecan. You expect it, you get it.
I think one of my favorite things about this particular brew is that, Curtis actually mentioned this earlier. I'm from Texas originally. In Texas, pecan porters, pecan stouts are a big thing. You get them, you can find them just about everywhere on tap. The difference between this and a Texas pecan porter. Is that this actually accentuates the nuttiness of what you're getting from the brown, as opposed to being the main profile of the flavor. You could get the nuttiness from it, but you're not saying, oh yeah, it tastes like a pecan-flavored beer, whereas opposed to something in Texas, this is actually something that accentuates and brings up to the taste of all the malts included.
So. I'm glad you're mentioning that, because we're going to probably bring it up when the dudes come, when Toby and Ryan come back to talk about the brewery a little more. This is my first time having Dudes Brewing tonight, so I'm really excited to talk to them about kind of the direction of the brewery. And honestly, I was a little worried because a lot of their beers have some kind of flavor aspect to it. They've got a spice or they've got a fruit added to it. And for me, in past history, some of the breweries I've seen who do that in almost every recipe, it's because they're trying to cover up a poor base recipe. And I don't think that that's still the case with this. As you mentioned, it's everything I'd expect out of an English brown with some pecans. And I'm, you know, originally looking at some of the descriptions of the beers, I'm like, oh my gosh, are they adding all these adjuncts into the recipe in order to, you know, cover up a shortfall in their base recipe scheme? And I don't think that's going to be the case when we talk to them.
Well, that's one of the things that I really appreciate about this beer, and in any beer that doesn't hit me in the face with when it says vanilla or it says bourbon barrel or it says, is I want this to be a beer first and then have the accent flavors that we're talking about. So I think that's unfortunately the route a lot of brewers are going, and especially now that big macro breweries are starting to brew some of these vanilla porters and some of these fruit beers, is that they hit you in the face with they hit you in the face with apricot, or they hit you in the face with lemon, or they hit you in the face with all of these, and then the beer is just kind of this bland sort of secondary.
It's really just the vessel to get that flavor to you.
Right.
It comes out pretty thin.
And so getting back to what you were talking about with this beer is that that's not the case here. This is a well-rounded brown ale already. A little more maybe West Coast style brown, you know, just mentioned because of the 6.9%, which is way out of the style guidelines. But that is what's helping this beer and the pecan flavors kind of all come together.
You know what's exciting too, and we're going to be coming up on a break here in just a second, but as it warms, the balance and the softness and sweetness is coming out a little more. You know, kind of like the way, almost in a pecan pie, or if you use pecans as a crust for pie, where you just crush them into a nice, fine base, it's really the buttery, sweet softness is starting to come out.
I've been lucky enough to try, I think, three different versions of this beer, this particular beer. The very first time they brewed it, I think, I was there. I've tried it, you know, in the middle. And this is my favorite iteration of it, I think. It's well-balanced. It's just a beautiful beer right now.
Well, and that leads to another thing that we'll talk to the owner and the rep when they get here, too, is how old this brewery is. We're talking a year old, you know, and so it takes a while to dial in these recipes, and that's one of the fun things, especially about discovering a new brewery, is traveling with them as they fine-tune the recipes
sure.
to what they're supposed to be. So it'll be interesting to see if this beer changes a little bit, you know, in a year or two. I'm guessing that it probably will, just a tiny bit. But I don't see any reason necessarily to do that right now, other than I know that if it is changed, that it's going to make it a more balanced, drinkable beer.
Sure. So with that, we're going to move into a break for a few minutes and round up Toby, who's the owner, and Ryan, who's the rep, and get back with a great interview from Dude's Brewing Company. Find out a little bit more what they've got to offer and where they're headed in the near future.
Definitely.
You're listening to Pints and Pairings from Barrel House 101 tonight, broadcasting live.
That's right. And, you know, before we close out, it would be a travesty if I didn't remind everyone here, now with our live audience,
yay,
and anyone on podcast, to eat, drink, and be happy.
Make sure to stay tuned for the commercials coming on this 5-minute break. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Cheers.
Cheers.